I had intended to preach rather a fuller sermon on this morning's lesson than I'm going to, but some events occurred during this week, and I'll get to that in just a moment to explain. But real quickly, the lessons for this morning are harmonized with the Old Testament reading and the epistle to try to address this rather strange statement, frightening almost statement, that is in the second half of the gospel reading. There are two passages there. We have the option of leaving one of them out, but I ask that they both be there because they're both important and they're both interesting, but they don't necessarily go right together. It is that second passage where Jesus says to the woman who is not an Israelite, "No, you don't get to be one of the chosen people. I did not bring food for you." That is addressed to all the Gentiles. That is addressed to us. And of course, we know that in the experience of St. Paul, that dictum has been changed, and these lessons attempt to put together some Old Testament justification for it. So if you go back and reread, perhaps, the Old Testament and the Epistle, you will see arguments that speak to that point. And if you choose not to, that's okay, too. That's fine. What I would instead talk to you about this morning has to do with the death this week, and I'm sure we all are aware of it, of Robin Williams. Two points to make about it. One is rather straightforward. A number of people have rather judgmentally pronounced that, well, Mr. Williams committed suicide, and therefore, straight down there he's headed, and things like that. I would simply remind you of the very well-known but often forgotten concept in Scripture that we judge not lest we ourselves be judged. It is not our role to say what happens to Mr. Williams or anybody else. Our right to object, my right to object to what you do, exists only to the extent that it may affect me directly. To the extent that it doesn't affect me, frankly, it's none of my business. And we ought not to be saying things like that. This, of course, being the Episcopal Church, you are free to disagree. Feel free. But I think it is a lesson worth taking with us. And I know our own bishop, we had an instance when I was in Hinton several years ago where a person who was a member of the congregation clearly committed suicide. And my question to Bishop Klusmeyer was, if we are asked to do a memorial service, what do you want me to say? And his answer, I thought, was quite pastoral. It was, that gentleman and his actions are far beyond my judgment at this point. He is elsewhere. Have a memorial service. It is for the living. And I agree with that. That said, what I would really like to talk to you about is Robin Williams' top 10 reasons to be an Episcopalian. If you are not familiar with them and you have access to Google, simply Google them and you will get the list. I'm going to go through a few of them, but really the one I want to get to is the number one reason. I mean, first of all, top 10 lists are really bad journalism. They often are lousy lists, for that matter. My brother, for some reason, feels that at dinners of his law firm, he has to offer a top 5 or a top 10 something or another. I think people would pay good money for him to stop that, but they have not yet offered the cash, so he continues. And of course, if you're a journalist, you know that what you want to say to somebody is, well, tell me the one thing. And you're asking people typically to summarize the totality of an experience into one thing. Well, that's not really fair, and it's not really fair to say that these are the reasons for one to be an Episcopalian, but they have some humor and they have some merit. The number 10 on the list is no snake handling, and I, for one, am devoutly in favor of that one. About the day I walk into St. John's and find something slithering, I'm going to hightail it out of here, and the rest of you can have a great time with whatever you've got left. Number 8 is male and female. God created them, male and female. We ordain them, which I just think is marvelous. Again, you don't have to agree with these. He says, let's see, number 6 is pew aerobics. You know, stand and listen and step and up and down and back and back. We don't yet do the jumping jacks part, but maybe with a new rector you'll get into that. Who knows? Number 4 is free wine on Sunday. That's not a lot of wine. That's not a really good wine, but it's a wine. There's a lovely cartoon on the door, on the wall of the sacristy, which shows somebody kneeling at the altar rail, and they're receiving the cup, and he says something like, "I detect faint aromas of cherry and a little..." All of the pageantry, none of the guilt is number three. Number two, you don't have to know how to swim to get baptized. And the number one reason, according to Robin Williams, to be an Episcopalian, and I think he got this one right. He got it right in a way that a lot of us don't. No matter what you believe, there is bound to be at least one other Episcopalian who agrees with you. Now think about that for just a minute. In the whole totality of the Episcopal Church, no matter how kooky your personal beliefs may be, we can assure you that there is somebody else who believes the same thing. And more to the point, we can assure you, well, with not quite the same certainty, we hope we can assure you that those who are sitting in between you and that other person, let's say that here's one person over here who believes one thing, and he has to go all the way back to the back corner to find the other guy who believes it. Everybody else in here is sane. But no, we've got these two who are doing soup to nuts on some notion. The challenge to that is not to those two. The challenge is to those of us who are sitting in between, who don't hold to whatever view that is, to give the other guy the space to have his or her own experience of the love of God. If we don't do that, if we don't give people a chance to say, look, here's what I've experienced, here's what I've seen, here's what I have come to believe, then frankly, there's no real reason for us to be here. Because how else are we going to learn? How else are we going to know how God has acted in people's lives than to have somebody say, here's the experience I had, and from that I draw this conclusion. It is all part of this business of loving one another. I think, as I've said, Robin Williams got it right, that there's somebody else who believes what you do, and at its best, in this wonderful church of ours, there is somebody else. And the corollary or the thing that follows on from that is, and none of the rest of us are going to tell you that you're wrong, unless it involves snakes, in which case we will loop back to number 10 and say, no, we're sorry, that's not part of how it works around here. But we know a place that you can take that belief and you'll be very comfortable there. But I would offer this thought that we do not necessarily and always do a good job of not judging the other fellow. You know, I don't know that any of the rest of us are superior at it. None of us are really superior beings. Too often, I think, we take it upon ourselves to conclude that somehow or another, although we know that all of God's children are unique and we know that God doesn't make any mistakes in creation, nonetheless, we think that somehow or another we are especially special, that God has created us in a truly unique way that the rest of you has-beens don't have. Well, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works at all. It is true that God created us all in his own image, an image of diversity. We prayed this morning for the people in the Middle East who are subjected in the name of a God, in the name of a religion, to death, to persecution, to disruption in their lives, all because somebody is convinced that he or she is right. Well, actually, that he is right. I don't think she gets a whole lot to say in this particular instance of it. But we see this in the world constantly. And the Christian church has engaged in it as well. None of us is free of the stain of that sin of judging others and making that judgment stick in the world. Hopefully, as we go forward, we get better at not saying, I'm right and you're wrong. Doesn't mean we're all right. Doesn't mean that everybody who comes up with some idea doesn't need to be talked out of that idea. That's a gift we can give to one another. But it does mean that we are required, as Episcopalians, and I think as Christians, and frankly, I think as humans, we are required to listen to one another, to pay really, really close attention to what somebody is saying, and to try with all our being to understand what they're saying and to accept it as valid for them. We are not required to accept somebody else's ideas as valid for us, but we are required to give them the space and the freedom to believe what they do believe and to show us the love of God as they have experienced it. When we do that, we can live harmoniously in a diverse world. When we do not do that, harmony goes away, diversity is destroyed, and the world is a far worse place for it than it otherwise would be. So Robin Williams is no longer with us. You've probably been barraged with YouTube excerpts to watch of his. My wife said to me yesterday, and my computer is in the basement, "What are you doing down there?" I'm laughing at what Robin Williams had to say, and we'll probably do that for a few days yet to come. Keep that lesson. In the Episcopal Church, no matter what you believe, there's bound to be at least one other Episcopalian who agrees with you. And regardless of whether or not you find that other Episcopalian, it is all right with God. That, frankly, is what really counts. Now, the rest of us, please, just don't get in the way, and life will be good. I offer you these thoughts in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.